Stay tuned for ASISU Speaks with your host, Christoph Kassoon, and tonight's guests, Damara Marshall and Kevin Perman, next on KISU.
Welcome to this week's edition of ASISU Speaks. This is your host, Christoph Kassoon. I'm very excited today to be in the studio with two very dear friends of mine and longtime ASISU colleagues. Like, this is the OG ASISU squad. Yeah. So I'm here with my friend Kevin Perman. How are you today, Kevin?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And Kevin is in the College of Pharmacy.
That's correct, yeah. I was able to serve as the ASISU Senator for the College of Pharmacy for 2 years, and now I'm actually serving as a Supreme Court Justice in ASISU. So.
Oh, yeah, and we have the lovely Damara Marshall, Senator Marshall.
Yep, hi, everyone. So as Christoph says, I am a senator for graduate school, along with Christoph, and I've been serving for, this is my third and last year.
So this is the first time we've all gotten together to do any kind of interview like this. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be really cool for the public if maybe we talk a little bit about what ASISU was like when we first started 3 years ago and maybe where it is now. Yeah?
Sure.
So we got sworn in, was it 2016?
Yes, that was 2016 when I started. Yep.
And our president and vice president were Des Ruiz and Makila Mir.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Senate was a different production back then. It was huge. We had 20 senators.
Yep.
Right?
Full room, full house.
Full house. What was it like being in that big of a Senate? Because now we have 13. Do you think it's more manageable now?
For me, I came in after you guys. So I came in a semester after.
Right.
Because for College of Health Sciences, because the senator couldn't continue. So for me, it was just like more of a learning experience. I just had so many people to learn from and to gather information from. The one that I'm in now, it's just very close-knit.
Yeah.
I guess a little easier to communicate and see if everyone's on the same page or not. Yeah, it doesn't seem like as much heads or as much opinion.
Right, I agree. I remember, well, I was pro tempore that first year when we had 20 senators, and being pro tempore as a brand new senator with no experience to manage 20 people.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I remember like when I had to assign committees and it was so hard to figure out a way to put 20 people into these six committees and choose the chairs and like avoid all the politics of the whole situation.
Exactly.
Like I had to finesse it. It was such a finesse.
And there were more committees back then.
Yeah.
That was before we consolidated some of those.
No, that's right. So right now, ASISU has three committees. Mm-hmm. So we have diversity and outreach.
Mm-hmm.
We have appointments and review. And we have finance.
Yes.
But back then we had a service committee. Diversity was its own committee.
Mm-hmm.
Communications and outreach was its own committee. Appointment was one committee, and then rules was a second committee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we had real committees.
It was just a lot going on, I would say. It's just a more condensed, like a kind of neater system, a better flow of things.
I agree. I think we streamlined it in a lot of ways.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the collapses we made by collapsing ENR into one, that was a perfectly
sensible
move.
Definitely cuts down a lot of the redundancy of things.
Right.
And then it doesn't overwork your senators.
Absolutely.
You know?
So, Kevin, you were the chair of...
I was the chair of appointments and review, yeah.
Right. That was last year.
Yep.
And how was that experience? Senator Marshall was in there with you. She was on your committee.
He actually interviewed me to be a senator. So thank you, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
For allowing me into the circle.
She was one of our best interviews I had. So I was very impressed with her. As you can tell, we're friends now even. So that was a good interview. But that was a lot of fun, actually. I enjoyed chairing that committee. Being over appointments and review, we would review legislation to make sure it was in congruence with the bylaws and the Constitution and everything. But then I also, like, my favorite part was being able to interview people that were applying for positions or interviewing for positions within ASISU. And so it was just fun to be able to do that and really learn about people and how they work and what they think and how they want to take ISU forward. So.
Yeah, and I feel like that's just such good experience to have on your resume, the fact that you interviewed somebody for a job.
Right?
Because mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's a job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Definitely.
So that's super awesome. So our first year in Senate, it was the first year we kind of did diversity, right? Mm-hmm. ASISU, we were coming out of the whole Islamophobic attack that we had on campus that year. And we felt like as students, we needed to do something for our students, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we created this diversity committee. We created this diversity officer position. And then we started doing the events mm-hmm. like Diwali. Uh-huh. We did like Holi, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. What impact did you guys think those events made?
I think that it made this some students feel extremely welcome and extremely yeah. happy that an organization on school will take the time and put in so much effort to incorporate their culture on campus. Uh-huh. I mean, I would look around at those events and I would just enjoy watching people have fun. I mean, people did not even want to leave.
I know.
Because they were just so happy just listening to their music and dancing. I mean, the food didn't even matter. It was just yeah. being able to dress up and celebrate something that they would in their home country. So,
exactly.
You know, congrats to ASISU for really taking that on.
For taking that on, yeah. yeah. I mean, that was one of the happiest moments of my life at yeah. ISU when that event came together, you know, because right. we have international nights, we have Nepalese nights, we have all these different cultural clubs putting on their own events.
Uh-huh.
And we as ASISU put on an event that everybody wanted to participate in and mm-hmm. everybody could come to, right? Because we mm-hmm. talked about this, you know, Diwali is it's a Hindu festival. Mm-hmm. In Trinidad and Tobago, we celebrate Diwali every year.
Yes.
My father's Hindu, right? Mm-hmm, every mm-hmm. Diwali, I would light diyas with him and put it all over our house. And then to come here and meet people from Nepal and India and Pakistan
that
who also do the same thing.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
And I think in terms of that, so International Night, you know, is just like a quick snippet of someone's culture.
Right.
But Diwali, we really got to focus on what it is and what it means and actually, you know, do one or two activities that showcases that part of their culture. So
right, it was very educational.
Yeah, it was very educational and it was just a little more than, you know, a 5-minute performance. And typically for international nights, you do not get things about a festival in particular. You'll get like, you know, a dance or a song, but not about like an actual festival. And we have so many festivals around the world. So
many.
Definitely hope to see more of those events
Absolutely.
In the future.
Me too, definitely. And I know the International Student Association did take on the event and they did put it on after we did.
Perfect.
So it's good yeah. that the kind of legacy has been going on.
Yeah.
Well, I
yeah.
love that. And I think that just doing stuff like that really helps to weave a tighter student body and helps to unite students at ISU in general. And so mm-hmm. it was really nice to be able to share that culture. I mean, for me, I'd never heard of Diwali before.
Right,
I was like,
right.
this is awesome. I love it.
Like, why do we have this
right,
every year?
Right, exactly. And so I'm really glad that we were able as ASISU to kind of push for that.
Yeah.
And now, even though we kind of passed the baton on, but that it's continuing, that it's something that students enjoyed and that they really want to continue that mm-hmm. Progress that we made there. So
absolutely. You know what? Another reason why Diwali was so important to me, all of our Senate showed up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody in our Senate showed up for that event.
Yeah.
Diversity and Outreach planned it. But everybody, our VP, everybody on cabinet, they were there. They were serving food. They were volunteering. They were helping people. And I feel like we haven't had that kind of participation from ASISU senators.
And which is, you know, very important because, yes,
yeah.
we do have committees, but our committees are just ways to help us manage certain decisions and bring it to the whole Senate.
Hmm.
But in reality, Senate should be at all of our, you know, events and stuff like that.
Right.
It's just, it's all of us as a whole. We are a team.
Exactly.
So it's good that at that event, for some reason, everybody came out and really represented ISU
yeah.
to
yeah.
the fullest.
And
yeah.
put ASISU on the map. People were talking about ASISU like never before after that mm-hmm. event happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when the event started and there were people sitting doing homework in the quad lounge, because that's another cool thing about the event. It was the first time anybody at ISU had held an event like that in the quad lounge.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Like, facilities had given us special permission because of the nature
wow.
of the event. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to hold it in the ballroom. We didn't want to hide it away in a room. I wanted it to be out there in people's faces.
Right.
Yeah. And students were there doing their little homework and then they just saw this whole thing going on.
Right.
And they're like, hey, come and eat.
Yeah.
Here's some food. Watch a performance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love that openness,
oh,
that
yeah.
culture of openness.
Definitely. Yeah. And as you say, like, these events should not be hidden away.
Agreed.
And I think that's the problem with a lot of our events on campus on the hold, just lack of promotion and just, I guess, the different places which people choose to have events. It's not in the public's face.
Agreed.
So we want to increase that...
visibility.
That visibility and that participation is important, that our students know that we're here and we want to, you know, be a part of their experience. So
right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Kevin, you have about 1 more year.
Yep.
In your program.
1 more year in pharmacy school.
In pharmacy school.
Yep.
And how is that going? I have crazy respect. Pharmacy. I am no.
I don't even know half the time what's going on. So yeah, I've got 1 more year. I'll be moving to Reno, Nevada in May for
Exciting.
My last year of rotations.
Nice.
A lot of people hear Reno and they go, why Reno? And it's a valid question, but I picked it. I wanted to go to Reno. Just after hearing about the experiences that I would have down there and the preceptors, mm-hmm. I mean, I have insane respect for the preceptors that I would have had at any of the other sites, and especially here in Pocatello with some of the faculty members.
Mm-hmm.
But just hearing about the experience that I could have in Reno, I thought, you know, that's going to be the best educational experience for me, and maybe I can go there and then come back with a different perspective,
right.
different outlook, and bring
Definitely.
Something new to this area. And so
absolutely.
That was why I picked Reno. But
it preached to the choir as internationals.
So it'll be good. I'm excited for it, but a little nervous, a little scared, but
Ryan,
you should be, I think.
But I mean, you're getting, and you too right. tomorrow, you're getting into that point of mm-hmm. your program now where it's time to step up into the real world, right?
Yes, it is. I'm actually moving from Pocatello in May. So first I moved to Cali for 2 months to do an externship there
right.
at Casa Colina. So I'm excited.
Wow.
It's a hospital placement, so it's a lot to learn. And then I move back to Boise to complete rotations. I'll be on the Meridian mm-hmm. campus. So it'll be new, but definitely ready to move on and go get more involved in my field. And,
right.
You know, as Kevin said, just kind of learn from different people and different perspectives, you know, because we've been in Pocatello for so long. So it's just kind of time to branch out and open our minds a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now, I mean, and you did your bachelor's, was it at ISU?
My bachelor's degree was actually in Rexburg.
In Rexburg.
Oh, wow. BYU, Idaho. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, so. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like we've been studying for so long, like the theory. Mm-hmm. We know everything now, right? Or we know a good deal about it.
Right.
And now it's kind of time to go and apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I just crave being in the clinic. And because I am doing audiology, for those of you who don't know. So it's a clinical doctorate. And I just want to apply what I've learned in class and use it with my patients. Like, I'm ready for that.
Right.
So
I feel like I'm experiencing that in my own way. So I guess my clinicals is whenever I get a guest lecture, because
mm-hmm.
I'm a teaching assistant.
That's awesome.
And so I gave like my second or third lecture like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I gave my first lecture like a year ago, it was horrible, y'all. It was scary. I feel like I just rushed through the whole thing. I completely lost the kids. They didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
I just like literally screamed at them for an hour. Just like shouting content.
Yeah.
But then like the more I do it, the more I realize it's chance to just, like, share my knowledge and share my experience and apply it,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my little clinicals.
And I think that's exactly right. Doing stuff that scares you, and even that's what's going to make you grow the most.
Yeah.
And so that's part of why I picked Reno, and I'm sure where you're going
right.
to California tomorrow and where you're lecturing.
Yeah.
Pushing yourself beyond your comfort zone and really, really pushing, even though it does scare you, to continue forward, that's what's going to make you grow the most. And so
exactly.
it's good things, even though we're scared at the time.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, shoot, what did I just do? What did I get myself into? But in the long run, it'll be worth it. So.
I agree.
Definitely.
I mean, it can't be any scarier than us leaving Trini and coming here and starting over.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm more afraid now because I feel like I'm older and more aware mm-hmm. of things and how things could go wrong and what could happen and how much things cost. And,
right.
you know, before I feel like if I was a little oblivious
like
to
kinda
everything,
sheltered.
I just kind of was like, oh, college, okay, hopped on a plane, came. But now I'm more aware of myself and more aware of the reality.
Right.
So the change does scare me. I do get anxiety like every day. I mean, Kevin and I were talking about looking for apartments, all these things, you know, trying to get your life in order. But growth feels good because I remember when I first went into my first clinic, kind of like your first lecture experience.
Yeah.
I mean, mess. I barely wanted to touch my patient. I was so confused. I was telling my supervisor, no, don't leave me. Like, where are you going? By me.
I know.
But now my supervisor's like, well, do you want me in the room or out? And I'm like, you could stay in the office. It'll be fine. Just watch me. So it's good to look back and know that you've grown and have improved so much. It's very fulfilling. So I'm ready to have those experiences, elsewhere.
All right. Out in the real world doing the thing.
Hopefully it goes well. Yeah.
I'm sure it will. I mean, y'all have both done phenomenally in the short time I've known y'all. So I have no doubts in my mind.
And I'm glad someone thinks so.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah.
So what do you guys plan for the future? Where do you want to end up?
You know, when I first came to the United States, I could not wait to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that, after my 4 years in graduate school, I will definitely go back home right away and open my own clinic. Now I would like to work in the U.S. a little bit just because we have more resources here and I feel more resources and more opportunities. So I feel like I could learn a lot more if I stay here for at least a couple years, maybe 3, get that experience and then take it home, just because Trinidad is still developing their audiological area. So I feel like, yes, I do want to end up back home, but I'm not in a rush to go like I was before, because I realized that staying here would increase my knowledge, how I need it to be able to efficiently help my country.
It's the long game, right?
Yeah,
it's
definitely
all about the long game, because at the end of the day, more expertise and diversity of experience you bring back, is the better the island is going to be off.
Yeah, so that's how I feel now, which is an interesting feeling. I would say I never thought of my thoughts will turn like that, but it is what it is.
Adulting.
It's hard.
And what about you, Kevin? Do you want to maybe have your own pharmacy one day?
That's kind of still up in the air.
Yeah.
We'll see what I end up doing with my life. But I'm hoping that my rotations are really going to help me focus in on what I enjoy the most out of pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
My plan when I originally came to pharmacy school was that I wanted to be an ICU pharmacist.
Okay.
That's what my cousin does up at Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a crazy amount of respect for him. And I thought, that's cool. I want to do that. And then when I got into pharmacy school, we started learning more about, the future of pharmacy and how that might become more of an ambulatory care, or where you're basically having patients walk in and you're kind of almost acting like a PA in a sense, where you get a collaborative practice agreement with a physician and you can have limited prescriptive authority in a sense. And I thought, that sounds really cool as well. So maybe I want to do that. But
nice.
We'll see. Those are kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum within pharmacy. We'll see what I end up liking and enjoying. But I think I'll probably stick more hospital type.
Okay. Mm.
That's at least what I think I would enjoy more right now. We'll see what happens in rotations. But after that year of rotations in Reno, if I enjoy it there, I might stay and try and do a residency there. If I apply elsewhere, I might, I've been thinking maybe even Washington or Oregon, or I've thought about coming back to Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center. I worked there for 3 years while I was going through school and enjoyed it there. And that was one of my reasons why I was like, I could do rotations here in the area, but I've worked there and I know a lot of those people.
Right.
And I love them and I want to do rotations there. But at the same time, if I can get that different perspective and then come back, I could be more valuable in the long run. And so we'll see what happens. I'm not entirely sure what I want to do, but I'm excited for it. And it'll be interesting to see what I end up deciding in the future.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of decisions to make in the next year, but it'll be worth it. So.
I mean, and you'll be a pharmacist.
Right.
So I think at that point, any decision you make is a good one.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. I like how you talked about this future pharmacy where, you might have pharmacists kind of taking on this role of more of a PA, where they can kind of do limited prescriptions, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Culturally, that's always been fascinating to me. And you would probably know this, Damar, but back in Trinidad, our laws about pharmaceuticals are so much more relaxed. Mm-hmm. My father could take me in to see a pharmacist, mm-hmm. and he could get me drugs.
Right.
Honestly, yeah. He could. Right. Like, he could look at me, tell me what symptoms I had, tell me what I was sick with, and prescribe something, and I could leave a pharmacist mm-hmm. with medication and get better without ever even going to a doctor or mm-hmm. hospital. Mm-hmm. Right? But in America,
It's very strict.
There are walls between pharmacists Literally. And the rest of healthcare professionals. Oh, yeah. So what do you think about that, Kevin?
You know, that's a great point that you bring up, and that's something that Idaho especially has been kind of at the forefront of pharmacy and pushing pharmacy towards kind of probably not as far as where Trinidad is, but
right.
pushing for that. And like in Idaho, we've got it to where now you can go into a pharmacy and get a rapid strep test to see if you've got strep throat.
Ah.
Pharmacists can do that. And then if it comes back positive, they can prescribe you the antibiotics, saving
right.
you the time having to go to the doctor
right.
and get a prescription.
It
then
saves
go to the
money.
Pharmacy. Right.
Yeah.
And so pharmacy's kind of in a great spot to really help the healthcare professions as a whole to be more efficient and to save money. Because pharmacists, we like to pride ourselves in the fact that you don't have to have an appointment to see your pharmacist. You can just walk
in
the door.
Exactly.
And so that's something that pharmacy really holds dear and near and dear to our hearts. And so that's something that we're like, you know, if we can provide those services on a walk-in basis,
yes.
that can save the doctor's time, that can free up their time to see more complex cases and patients. We can manage the more simple, straightforward patients and cases. And so we thought, you know, why not? And so Idaho's been great. We've been kind of one of the leading states in the nation.
Wow, I did not know that.
There's a couple other states that are a little bit further ahead of us in other areas, but we're kind of one of the leading states in other areas. So it's kind of fascinating. That's why, you know, I'm going to go to Reno, but I'm like, I might want to come back to Idaho because Idaho's doing great for pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So
that's dope.
The Western states tend to be really forward thinking for pharmacy. And so I know a lot of people don't know that pharmacists go through, you know, you do your bachelor's degree and then you go to 4 years of pharmacy school.
It's just like being a PA.
Yeah. I mean,
I
have crazy amount of respect for PAs. My brother's a PA, but their program's usually 2 years after they're done with their bachelor's.
True. So y'all study for even longer.
And so it's like, you know, we've got the education to do a lot of this stuff. We just don't learn so much of the diagnostics.
Right.
But we know how to treat everything. We know a lot of the options that are available. And
right.
So it's like, you know, pharmacists are kind of an invaluable resource
right.
in the healthcare.
I feel like they're undervalued.
Right.
Yeah, I think the healthcare industry just isn't taking into account how useful pharmacists are.
Yeah.
Well, and then sad enough to say a lot of pharmacists are a little too scared to really push for...
Yeah.
To really practice at the top of their education is what we say is a lot of pharmacists are just like, no, I kind of just want to stay and...
Behind the counter.
Behind the counter, and I just want to counsel on a medication. That's why in Idaho it's like, no, we're going to push you. We're gonna see if you can't be a better pharmacist as far as providing those extra services. And we can, here in Idaho, if a woman has a yeast infection,
mm-hmm.
a pharmacist can treat that if it's uncomplicated.
Right.
If she's had one before, she knows the symptoms, she can go into the pharmacy and the pharmacist
and
can treat
needs,
that now.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's like, Why didn't we do this sooner?
Exactly.
You know?
And I think it's particularly important in rural states like Idaho because mm-hmm. there are people who live in remote areas. They don't have access to a lot of health professionals.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might have one pharmacy, and if you can get treatment at the one location you have, then great.
Yeah.
You don't need to go traveling 45 minutes to find a hospital or find a doctor. Right?
Right.
So
for sure.
Yeah. So geographically, it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's kind of why a lot of the Western states are kind of at the forefront
of that. I see.
Because
of the need.
Of that. Yeah.
Right.
So it's been cool. It'll be exciting to see where the future takes us.
Nice. So you're both, in my opinion, health profession experts.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare professional experts, right? So
at least we're aiming to be. So
from everything you've gathered studying healthcare and health all these years, mm-hmm. what would you say is probably one of the biggest problems with healthcare, maybe in this country or in the world or with the industry? What's something that really bugs you?
For me, a lot of people know that loud noise or could be hazardous to your hearing health, mm-hmm. but they still choose not to protect their hearing or to practice healthy hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And that puzzles me.
Yeah.
A bit, and I'm a little frustrated by that just because I'm around a lot of my friends that, you know, would have their music up to the fullest or play sports and are in those noisy environments.
Right.
But for some reason, they just don't want to protect their hearing, yeah. and our ears are so valuable. So for me, it's just to find ways to reach your patients or your loved ones and mm-hmm. help them take the information that you provide seriously as a preventative rather than having to do damage control.
Right, because it's much harder from the other side, working yeah. backward.
So yeah. that is one problem. And then I think Dr. Google, as we mm-hmm. call it, is another problem.
Dr. Google.
Because, you know, patients will come in and say, oh my God, you know, I read this online and freak out and you find all these things online, and it's like, okay, but you know, you still need a healthcare professional
to
guide you and to really diagnose you and to lead you on the correct path. Google is not always correct, contrary to popular belief.
Exactly.
So those are my two things, just reaching the public and helping them prevent certain things mm-hmm. In terms of their health, whether it be their hearing health or any other type of health, and then letting them know that coming in to see a healthcare professional a lot of the times is more beneficial than just self-diagnosing.
Right. So. Absolutely. I love what you talked about, people not taking care of their ears, right? And
yeah.
their hearing. I'm guilty.
Yeah.
100% guilty.
Yeah.
A month ago, I went to a concert in Salt Lake with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I walked into the concert, one of my friends came out to meet me, and she had earplugs in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anybody, like, with earplugs in at a show. And then they had earplugs for all of us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I am not gonna lie, saved my life.
Yeah.
If I didn't have those earplugs at that particular concert, because mm-hmm. it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad, I would have had to leave.
Oh.
Yeah, like, my brain was breaking, and I was sick on top of it, so I couldn't deal.
Yeah,
so
a lot
it's
of
super
the
important.
A lot of the noise is, you know, just kind of really overwhelming, and
yes,
your ears have feelings too.
They do.
Believe it or not, they have feelings. They hurt when, you know, noise is too loud, and
they
if
do.
You don't experience that hurt in the moment, they give you signs after in terms of tinnitus, so that ringing or buzzing in your ear after
yes.
a concert, or you may feel like you have muffled hearing after. Those are indications that, hey, probably we need to avoid those situations, or we need to do certain things when we're in those situations
right.
to, you know, protect your hearing. So simple things like not standing directly in front of the stage or directly by the speaker,
yes.
giving your ears time to rest after.
Right.
You know, there are custom hearing protection.
True.
Inserting the hearing protection that you wear correctly.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. There's so many things that you could do to protect your hearing. And a lot of people might think, you know, it's not cool to wear earplugs, but you need your ears to communicate throughout life.
Exactly.
So it is cool. It is a good idea to protect your hearing in those situations.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't even have to be, you know, a concert. It could be a football game.
True. If you're working construction,
when you're working on the farm,
yeah.
Power tools, you know, on the shooting range.
Right.
Those are all the places when you blow dry in your hair, just a little thing.
Yes. So true.
It's loud. And you need ears.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you. I think people just don't think about their ears. They
yeah.
just ignore them. They don't give them any love.
Well,
take them for granted.
And then hearing loss is like a silent, you know, disease.
True. It's invisible.
It's invisible.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, you'll see a rash on your face, or, you know, if you like other diseases, you could kind of see,
right.
You know, signs, but hearing loss is very, very subtle, and no one could really see it on you.
Right.
So you have to actively just, you know, protect your hearing, and if you do have hearing loss, actively advocate for yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love it. What about you, Kevin? Any thoughts on health and healthcare?
Probably shouldn't say too much, but the importance of vaccines is definitely something that I think
yes.
Needs to be addressed in this country currently. Just the importance of being able to prevent those issues, those preventable diseases. A lot of people think that pharmacists want you on all the medications, just everything on the shelf, we want you on all of it. That's actually not what we want. As pharmacists, we kind of take a different approach where we see if a medication is needed and then see if we can't cut medications that are unnecessary if you're not really getting a benefit. And so especially with like vaccines and preventing diseases, it's like we're all for that. If we can prevent something, why not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
that's kind of something that pharmacy approaches is a lot of these diseases will progress, and so we want to put you on a medication to prevent the progression.
Interesting. Also, I see. Okay, yeah. There's a kind of stereotype about pharmacists. We tend to think of them as after the fact. You go there when you're already sick and need medication, but there's a whole preventative side of pharmacy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And like, we just, I mean, it was a case that was based on a real patient, but we did a case yesterday where it was like, oh, this patient feels like they're taking too many medications. Let's see how we can cut back. Let's see what medications this patient really isn't getting that much benefit from. Mm-hmm. See if we can't save them some money. And that pill burden is what we call it, where they're taking too many pills. And then we as pharmacists always worry, you know, if they're taking so many pills and there's so many different directions, how easy is it for them to accidentally take something incorrectly?
Right.
And so we always want to try and simplify that as pharmacists. And that's kind of something that people don't realize that pharmacy can offer is trying to help simplify that and make your life a little easier. And so I go at that kind of as a two-pronged approach of preventing progression of disease and preventing you from having to take as many medications, but also get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a growing problem in the country
now, so. Prevention is the key, guys.
Not just in health, in everything.
Honestly. In life.
Like, be a conscious person. Think about your actions. Think about what you're doing.
Yep.
And try and be a little bit more gentle.
I think
with yourself and the world.
Right.
Yeah?
For sure.
Yeah, definitely.
This was so good. This was phenomenal. Thank you for being in the studio with me. So proud. Oh, God. I just looking at you all, I'm so proud. Like, we started together years ago, you know, the pit. And here we are, you know, you're all going off to your rotations. Right. You know, doctorate programs.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I think we've done really good things. And I'm just really blessed we got to share this journey together.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's really nice to have Kevin back with us for a little while.
I had to leave for a while after I was done with Senate. But proud to be here with you guys. Proud of what we accomplished.
Me too. Wouldn't have picked anybody to go into battle with. Great. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Financial support for KISU's ASISU Speaks comes from ISU Credit Union with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including mobile banking, remote deposit, online bill payment, over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. ISU Credit Union, you've never seen banking like this.